him at his word. His word is what helps me. Now I'm just going to start with some thoughts that I had this week. The enemy does not have truth. It's not that he can't speak truth. He can actually speak perfect truth because he speaks scripture sometimes. Do you know that your enemy does that? Do you know that he did it? He tried that on Jesus. So if someone says the devil, all he does is lie, he can't do anything but lie, well, that's a lie. They just don't realize it. I don't believe they're trying to be ugly. I just think that they don't know that he can speak the truth. If he speaks God's word, that's ultimate truth. You've got to be able to interpret God's word as God means it, as God meant it to say it, as the way that God said it, that's what he meant. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. And the enemy said to Eve, did God really say that you cannot eat of the fruit? He took what God said and just wanted to put a little bit of a twist on it. You know why he did that? And you know why it was effective? Because if you don't know God's word, then you're subject to the worst. Hear me now. Let me say it again. If you don't know God's word, then you'll get stuck in a category where you just feel like. God does not want you to just feel like. God wants you to know. Because the enemy will hijack the truth. Just like he did with Eve. He will hijack your truth, which your truth, not really your truth, because your truth can change. But he will try to hijack God's truth, which is your truth. If you receive it as truth, then it's your truth, right? Every promise from God is yes and amen. That means it's yes. I mean, if it's a promise from God, it's yes, but it says it's yes and amen. So it's yes and amen. And amen means and I'm in agreement with it, and I say let it be so. So every promise of God is yes, and then here comes the congregation beside it, behind it. Amen. All right? So we agree on that. So it's human nature, and it started way back with Eve, for us to allow the enemy to hijack the truth if we don't know what God really said. That was the question. Did God really say what he said? That's what the serpent said, okay? If you don't know it. See, here's the importance of knowing God's word. And it says it in Scripture. My sheep know my voice. He makes a distinction right there. Because the enemy, since the enemy doesn't have truth, he'll take your truth, which is God's word, and he'll try to use that truth against you when the word originally is for you. And the end result of that is you didn't just get your truth hijacked. Because of that, then you got your peace hijacked. And because of that, now your heart's hijacked and you're wondering where God's at in all of this. Simply because there's so many things in our life that come back to this. God's word and my obedience to it. Zero amens on that. God's word and my obedience to it or my lack of obedience to it. Okay? So, and I've only got 2 pages, so we're halfway there, but I'm going to get hung up here for a little while because y'all, when y'all get quiet, I don't get scared. I start digging in because I know that I'm brushing up against something, and I know that this is going to help you. I want you, if you don't mind, turn to Colossians chapter 3. But while I'm going to that, the Scripture says that my sheep know my voice. Okay? So there's key to that. You've got to be able to distinguish the voices in your life. And I hear Christians say this a lot. They say, well, God said this to me. God said that to me. I know one thing for sure that Jesus said. He said, it is finished. So from that point, he really didn't have to say anything else. And I have not found God to be that talkative outside of his word. But I have found the enemy to be very talkative. Very talkative. Actually takes the word of God and tries to leave it in a question mark into my mind a lot. So you know what that puts the pressure on me? Is to know not just the word, but who's saying the word. Because here's the voices in my mind. Okay, all right, I could start with my wife because everybody's got a wife. I think all the fathers got a wife, so I hear her voice a lot. But I hear God's voice through his word, and I hear my own voice. Amen? And then I hear a voice of an enemy. And you know which one I really need to be able to recognize? People say, you need to be able to recognize God's voice. I can get that through his word. You need to be able to recognize what the enemy's voice is too. Because the enemy will take the truth and hijack it and turn it into a lie against you. So the responsibility is on you to know the word of God. Okay? If you don't know the word of God, it's going to be impossible for you to have peace in your life. And then it's going to be really impossible for you to guard your peace. Because once you have peace in your life, that peace has to be guarded. Has to be guarded. And before you start fretting too much about guarding it, there's good news for you. Let me read. Colossians chapter 3. The previous chapter talks about being dead to my sin and being raised in Christ. So I'm going to pick up chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So there's something very key right here. We are to seek the things which are above, where Christ is. Okay, let's just hold that for a second. Where Christ is, where Christ is. How many of you know that Christ is not Jesus' last name? May have got a little revelation there. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is Jesus' function. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing. Jesus the anointing. Jesus the anointed one. And Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And you know, actually what he's doing right now is praying for me and praying for you and praying for us. Isn't that a good thing? That he's not just praying, he's interceding for us. So in other words, he's going right to the need that I have and he's praying over that thing. What did he tell Peter? Peter was about to fail. But he told Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. Isn't that, I've got friends and I've got people that pray for me, but I wish that they would pray what Jesus prayed over me, that my faith not fail, because sometimes my faith wants to fail. Sometimes my faith sounds like that old car that I had in high school. It's like, it's about to go out. My faith is about to fail. Now listen, there again, this is your pastor speaking. I need you to pray for me. You need me to pray for you. I need you to pray for me too. This is a symbiotic type relationship. Is that the right word? That's it. All right. I got it right there from the professor herself. She Googles herself. And then we do this. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Whose responsibility is that? He said, set it. Y'all know that little thing, set it and forget it? I wish I could do that. But we are to set our minds on things above, where the anointing is. Set our minds on Jesus Christ, the anointing. You want to be helped? It doesn't mean just set your mind. It means fix your mind on Christ. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is just a reminder. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know what? I'm going to tell you what it would do good sometimes. Sometimes we hear these Bible stories and we're like, yeah, I know that. I know that. I got it. I know. Yeah. Somebody told me something very helpful, and I told our men when we met last Sunday morning. Sometimes you need to take a very familiar verse of Scripture and ask yourself a new question about it. Just throw that out there. But when we hear the Word of God, this is a clue I want to give you. Every now and again, try to empty your mind out to where it's like you're hearing it for the first time, so you can appreciate this promise. This is incredible stuff right here. This is eternal stuff right here. And you may be hearing it for the first time. And if you are, listen well. And if you're not hearing it for the first time, listen well. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Here comes the list. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And then he categorizes it, in which you yourselves, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. So if you didn't feel uncomfortable already, how about that? But he's talking about me too. He's talking about all of us, okay? In which you yourselves once walked, ED, past tense, you once did that when you lived in them. But now, look at your neighbor and say, still talking about you. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. See, that list was stuff you used to do, I hope. Not going to look up and see if anybody's red-faced. But this is the list that you still need to deal with. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Somebody tell your neighbor, I didn't come to hear all this, Pastor. You acting mean on Father's Day. Do not lie to one another. So I got to tell you the truth. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Remember what I told you about putting off the old man? You remember how we explained that? It's like this. When you get saved, God gives you a new house. The problem is if you keep showing up at your old address. Put off the old man and his deeds. All that stuff you used to do is over there. That's not you anymore. It's not representative of Christ in you. Don't sabotage yourself. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now here's the difference. Here's the distinction. What distinguishes you now is that you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So your knowledge, through what comes out of your mouth now, I can tell that you serve God. It's a dead giveaway. It's recognizable either way. Because it said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Can I tell you, putting on the new man can be, if you will, just a put on. We're really supposed to put it on. We're supposed to wear the new man. It's our garment. The Bible talks about garments of praise. Our language should change. There should be a distinction that is made about us because we are inhabited now by Christ. Everybody made the preacher feel better by saying amen. Thank you. Feel better already. But here's the evidence that your knowledge is renewed according to the image of God, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It'll change everything. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. I put up with you, you put up with me. I forgive you, you forgive me. And we get on with things, okay? And I haven't even got to the what I'm trying to preach this morning, but I'm just trying to set the stage. I didn't really think that comment was that funny. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also should do. Oh, it didn't say should, did it? I think we got a must there. I mean, yep, it's a must. So that's where we deal with it. That right there is where it comes down to simple obedience or disobedience. Either you forgive or you don't. Have you ever had anybody say something to you like it's a lead-in, like something really nice, and then they say, but? Can I tell you the next thing, what comes after the but is what they really meant? All that other stuff that came before the but? Everything that came after the but? Watch out for the buts. I snorted a little bit on that one. Just a little bit. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Another proof is love. And let the peace of God, here we go. Now, this is what I want to preach. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Say, and be thankful. We'll visit that again. Let the peace of God rule. That actually means, and I know Christine has said this before, and I know y'all love to really listen to Christine, but she has said this before, and it's the truth. When it says to let the peace of God rule in your heart, that means that it actually, the peace of God acts as an umpire. It acts as an umpire. It actually is, the peace of God becomes arbitration for you. It will make, peace will make the decision for you if you let it. And then it's whether you follow it or not. See, he gives instruction to follow peace, but that means that you might not. See, that comes back down to obedience or disobedience. You see how much I'm trying to help you understand something this morning. There's so much of this faith walk that really the responsibility lies right here. I can't blame it on anybody else. Most of my mess I got myself into. And anytime I got myself into a mess, I can promise you there was disobedience involved. Really simple. He's not made it hard for us. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is not just a black and white striped shirt, and we need an instant replay to see if God got it right. Because sometimes God will make a ruling in our heart and we'll know what he said, but then we'll start contending him with, and we'll even charge his mound. Don't do that. Because he was right. And it comes down to obedience or disobedience. A matter of fact, the fact that we would keep God in contempt over anything proves that we're ready to disobey. The truth didn't sound so appealing. No. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what I'm trying to get to right there. Let the peace of God rule. Let the word of Christ dwell. Who's that come down to? Who takes responsibility? I will either let the peace of God make the ruling. How will I do that? By letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay? So this thing I told you a minute ago, to repeat this, be thankful. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Go down to the bottom. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. I want to follow that throughout. I want to follow that a little bit. But this is what thanks is. We know that thanks is the appreciation of something, like a gift, right? So we thank God for his gift, but thanks is also, it's evidence that you realize that the thing didn't come from you. Do you see that? Because I want you to get that. Thanks is more than just appreciation for a gift. Thanks is an admission that it did not come from you. So when you get to that place with God, when you're being thankful to him, because there's something else that peace does, okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now I want you to flip back a couple pages to Philippians chapter 4. It's just right there. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So be anxious for nothing. What is that saying? That's dealing with your peace and what your part is in it. I'm dealing with my peace here. It's my peace. You have to guard your peace. It is a responsibility that is on you. Only you can do it. Only you can guard your peace, except for that's not completely true. Read on. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So all of a sudden, there should be like a pressure valve that just released in you. Because as humans, we've got to go to sleep, right? Who's going to guard your peace while you're asleep? Has you ever woke up at night and all of a sudden your peace was gone? Gone. Let's address this other thing first with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let go of your peace. Do you know that? Do you know how big anxiety is right now in our world? Do you know how many people are on pills and medications and regimens simply for anxiety? I know how real it is. I've seen it in my own home. I know what it is for someone to have an anxiety attack. I know what it is to feel just about overcome by something. But you know when that happens? When I start trying to figure it out outside of what his word said. When I missed the distinction of the voices. when I was trying to hear the voices and all of a sudden I missed it. I was trying to figure out, is this for me? Is this against me? And all of a sudden, this is why you need to be able to distinguish between the voices in your life. Because if the enemy can get you pondering on something, he starts taking up territory in your mind. You know, kingdoms are about territory. You understand? You understand you've got territory right here, and you can't afford to lose territory. That's why the enemy is so tight about his territory. That's why when Paul said, there is an effectual door that's been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. The enemy can't stand to give up doors. He can't stand to give up territory. Okay? So here we are, back to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's where we get, here's what differentiates our God from anybody else. We are given instruction before the petition is made to give thanks to God. You know what we're so used to? And you know why we get things messed up with God? And you know why we hold God in contempt sometimes of our own court? It's because we are so used to thanking someone after we get something we are thankful at all. One of the first things I try to teach my children is someone gives you something, you thank them. So I ingrained that in them from an early age. You know, the cool thing about kids, when they're young enough, somebody will come by and give them a dollar. They don't know how to say thank you yet, but I'm thinking, thank you, that's my dollar, thank you. My child's cute, but thank you for that dollar. I agree by accepting it. But I teach them, when they give me something, when somebody gives me something, a thank you should follow, right? But that's when we're dealing with each other. But when we're dealing with God, a thank you should come before we even ask him. Because that means you've recognized that he's the God that can. And what he answers and does, it will be worth thanking him for. Even when it's not what you asked. See, we're only used to thanking him whenever it went our way. I still remember that Garth Brooks song. One of God's greatest gifts, unanswered prayer. Nice, Garth. That's nice. You just hijacked that right out of the Bible. Thanking him before. Can you thank God in advance? Or do you say, oh, dear God, blah, 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 this is what I need. Whoa, 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 back it up. What's the word say? Settle down. What do you come to God huffing and puffing for anyway? He said, it's finished. So I come to him huffing and puffing. Do you understand this about God? Even in a code blue, he's not alarmed. I had to come to that realization with my own daughter. Things could get frantic that quick. I'm talking quicker than that. I mean, it was quick. It's like, whew, get somebody in here. I've ran out in the hall and said, somebody get in here now. I've seen my wife run to the hall. Get somebody in here now. You see what got chipped away on? It's human. I'm telling you, it's human nature. I mean, I wish in those times panic sets in and I just go, ain't worried about it. Not worried about it. God, I thank you that you're in control. Wouldn't that be nice? How many of you know ain't none of us like that? Let's just be honest. But we could be. You know what that'd make us? The weirdest person in the world. Maybe that should be the title of the message. Are you weird enough to trust him? Well, this is where the comes, because we've got to go against our physical man and allow the spiritual man to take over. I mean, he did say, and let the peace of God make the ruling. Did he say that? So there again, it puts it back on us, right? You know what? I know that he lets us, he has grace for us whenever we go to that panic mode. There's something that I preached, and since we lost our daughter, I've had to come back to this so many times. It's like, literally, I don't even know why I put this here today, but I'm kind of glad I did. It's perfect for right now. But literally, every sermon I can ever think of that I ever preached has come back to confront me since we lost Kinsey. It has. One of the biggest things that has come back to not haunt me, that's not the right word, but it feels like, I don't want to say haunt, but whatever haunt means, that. What's come back to that me is the times that I preached, has it, and you've heard this, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? You've heard me say that, haven't you? Can I tell you that came back to make me ponder that? Like, God, I know you knew. I know you were paying attention. And I know the prayer that I prayed is not what happened. How about that? Has anybody in this room ever prayed a prayer that didn't come out and didn't turn out the way that you gave it to God? I mean, you could go back and you could go back to God. You could say, now, whoa, 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 God, hold on just a second. I know there's not a problem with you hearing what I said, but I obviously communicated that wrong to you. I said I needed this to happen by this time on this date. Now we're good. Okay, all right, I'm good. Now I can settle back in because things are going to go my way, right? What are you going to do when you've prayed, you've fasted, you've sown? I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, that was another good sermon. I didn't sow for that. Boy, that was a good one, right? Y'all shouted. Y'all worship. Y'all amen the pastor. Where's my hanky box? Yeah, I didn't sow for that, pastor. Just in case. What are you going to do when you didn't sow for that? There's no hanky box to reach and, God, I didn't sow for that. When he's right. What about when you prayed something he didn't answer the way you wanted him to? Is he still right? Then who was wrong? The last 6 months, because that's how long it's been. I can't believe it's been that long, but it's been 6 months since we lost our little girl. I have had to tell God, I am so sorry that I keep holding you in contempt of John's court. I keep holding you in contempt of my court, because in my court, I'm the judge. In my court, what I say is right. Don't look at me like y'all can't believe that I would do that, because you would do the same thing too. You got a court too. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, honorable judge. I mean, you want me to be honest with you, right? I don't glow in the dark. I have questions for God. But I can tell you my pathway out of that is whenever I was able to say, God, the truth in my heart is that I did not agree with what you did. But I submit to what you did. Because what's the word for that? When you submit to something, That's what, maybe that's the word, submission. Submitting when you don't agree with something. Obedience when you don't agree is submission. That's what it is. Sorry, I had a little. There's going to come a time when you'll either submit or you won't. And that will involve obedience and your ability to say, okay, God, I obey. Because there's still a part of you in the human realm that will want to question the thing. But what if you would have done this? When it comes to God's final word, there's no what ifs. And you hear this a lot in the church world. There are none of these, but we offer this as an excuse. God just understands. God just understands. I've seen all kinds of things that Christians have tried to sweep under a carpet. God just understands. Truth is, he doesn't. I had it held on my phone, but I think I can remember exactly what it said. This is what the Bible says about what God understands. It says these words, but the Lord God understands the intentions of our hearts. If that one right there doesn't make you say, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, I was just human, and oh, Lord. Because you know what that means? I'm God, and you're not. You're going to come to that place. The Lord God understands the intentions of our heart. And 100% of the time when I've heard somebody say, well, God just understands, I have said, we have entered the scary somebody fixing to get struck zone. I will stand over here. I will get grounded while you know. And I've said some things to God. Has anybody ever said some stuff to God? You know what that means? You're human. The good thing about you realizing that you're human is it's going to be easier for you to realize who God is. See, because when you don't realize who God is, you'll put yourself on his level quickly and you'll go above him. It got awful tight in here. Romans 14 and 19 said, pursue the things that make for peace. This is the deal. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then this is what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Even that scripture right there. Oh, all you need is the peace of God that passes understanding. Are you ready for that? Because it sounds good. It's like, man, I didn't even realize I was that good, man. I didn't realize I was that good for God. God just really loves me a little bit extra. He's going to give me peace that passes understanding. Can I tell you what I figured out that to be? Peace that passes understanding is exactly what it says it is. Here's understanding, and it goes past that. I don't get to stop there because I can't understand it. It's a no zone for me. And since God knows that if I can't understand it and I keep trying to understand what he set up that I can't understand, I will get stuck there trying to understand what I could never understand. And I dare not try to say that again, but I think I was right. So he says, since you can't stay there, I will take you past there to a place of peace. I don't have to know it all. Peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God which passes understanding. Somehow we've personalized that we feel like that something special is going to happen. The peace of God that passes understanding, that's just going to come all over me and I'm just going to float around the world. That'd be nice sometimes, I think. I think you get that by taking drugs. Because in the real world, there's some stuff I've been trying to understand. I've been racking my brain. I've been going to bed at night still thinking about it, and I can't get it. And you know what I need? I need the peace of God to carry me past what I can't even understand anyway. It's not for me. It's not for me to understand everything of God. But he understands all my intents. That really puts a lot of boundaries around me. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. Different translations. Set a watch over your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. Spring. Have you ever been to the head of a spring? I have. I can take you right to one. We have to travel about 4 hours, but I know where there's a spring at. And I know with it, it's actually called bubbling springs. It comes out and it's in the leaves. It's like the fall, winter leaves are on the ground. And there's just a little bit of wet spot, and you can see bubbles. Oh, there's bubbles. Some smart person, really smart, named it Bubbling Springs. And there it is. And you follow it from here to this door, and it has made a creek. And you follow it about 50 yards more, and that creek is really moving, enough to where you could take a bath in it. I know because I have. It's a place where you can go camping. Bubbling Springs, Virginia. Guard your heart. Translations that say, guard your heart and your mind. For out of it flows, out of it springs, out of it flows the issues of life. Look at your neighbor and says, oh, you got issues too? I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. We all got issues. If I talk to you very long, I'll find out what's in your heart because it'll spring out. See, that's God's thing. You know why psychologists take credit for being smart? Because they lay you on a comfortable couch. I don't know. I mean, I heard they lay you on... I heard they lay you on, let's get that straight now. But that was kind of funny. I thought that was kind of funny. That was funny. But they get you comfortable and they get you talking. The whole thing is, if I can get you talking, I can find out what's in there. And I might can unlock a secret because I start layering things back. Oh, that comment came from something. Let's find out what that meant. Oh, that came from, oh, yeah. Well, that one's got branches on it. So let's, you see what I'm saying? And it's God's principle. It's not Dr. Whoever. It's not Dr. Smart Guy. It's God's principles. Guard your heart. And I don't care how good of a guard you can be. You won't be able to guard it all. That's why he says, peace of God will guard your heart. You know that God's word is supposed to be good news? Because there's times when I can't guard it very well. There's some times when the guard in me is tired. I have to go back the sheep hears the Father's voice. If I'm going to get that thing guarded again, then I'm going to go back and secure peace by securing myself in what he said. Guarding my heart and my mind. The peace of God.
I had no idea he was going to talk about this today. And this very week I wrote that scripture down in my journal, The Peace That Passes Understanding. And I asked God to give me revelation on it. And go with me like to a classroom right now. Like this black behind us is a big chalkboard. A university classroom. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me about this verse. I'm kind of like, how in the world is he preaching about that today? But up in the corner right here, a great mathematician writes a problem and asks me to solve it. And I have to say, I have no idea. I don't even know where to start. So he brings in a ladder, and for the next 8 hours, he just begins to figure that thing out all the way down this side, then at the top again, all the way down this side. You've seen it before, those math problems that take up an entire wall. And when he gets to the end, circles the answer. My response to that is, okay, you're the expert. If that equals that, I don't have that kind of knowledge. I don't know how to solve that. But you're qualified to. You've been put to the test. You have proven that that equals that. That's what God showed me. Christine, if I could pick you up and put you on my lap and open the book and read the story from start to finish, you still wouldn't understand it all. But if I showed you what was going on in the spirit in every chapter, in every in and out, from my mind, when I got to the end, the tears would be dripping and you would reach up and you would kiss my face and say, thank you, God. You're not qualified to understand that. So when you get to that place that your mind goes, I have to reconcile. Because we have peace where we can reconcile things. You have peace about your bank account because you can reconcile your checkbook to say, this is truly what I have in there. We want to reconcile, but with God, we cannot reconcile. A God that created the universe, a God that created the man that can understand the problem that you could never understand. So when we get to that place where we so want to reconcile with God, that's when God takes us and gives us, hey, you're not going to get peace about this because you're not going to be able to reconcile it. So I'm going to give you the peace that passes the understanding. You don't have to understand to have peace. Aren't you glad that you don't have to understand to have peace? I'm tired of living by emotion or by circumstance that says only if you can put your finger on God and say, that is a religious spirit, people, that has God all figured out, and that he does this, and he does this, and he does this, and if he doesn't do that, something's wrong with you, or your faith, or your whatever. I want a God I can't understand. I want a God that is bigger than anything I could have ever dreamed. So I encourage you today, if you're at that place where you're seeking understanding about, it doesn't have to be comparable to what we're going through. I don't want what we're going through to be comparable to anything that you ever go through. Whatever that decision is in your life, whatever the place is that you feel stuck, ask God to give you the peace that passes understanding this morning.
That's good, Christine. It really is. And you know what else it did? It reminded me just how much I hate math. Remember algebra and all that stuff? That stuff was only beneficial if you were going to turn around and start teaching it in your future. Anyway, Paul said this. He said, be reconciled. Be reconciled. That takes the burden off of you to figure it out. And I want you to understand this. When we say things to you, Can I tell you that we're just sharing a revelation that God has given us for us? One of the biggest things I ever had to figure out is when God was giving me something for y'all and when he was giving me something just for me. And sometimes it's for both. Well, anytime we open up his words. But that is a huge word, Christine. This huge thing of trying to figure it out. I'm guilty. Anybody else? I'm guilty. That painted a great picture. I never thought I would appreciate even seeing a math problem. But there's some commercial right now that shows that. And then it shows that at the very end somebody erased it. That's about how much I got of the problem of that erasing it. Like just, well, maybe I can take that into life and say, the answer's there. The beginning of it's there. God, take me all the way to it. Let me rest. It even says that. It says how hard it is for us to enter into the rest of the Lord. He has a place of rest for us. Quit trying to figure it out. Christine, will you come? I want to apologize that Christine went so long today. But it was worth it. If you heard everything I said and bore with me while I said it until she just said that, then you left with something good. If you will, I'm going to say this. I believe somebody left here with either a tool or maybe even multi-tool. Some different ways to handle your week. A different way to handle anxiety. It all comes back to this. God's word. And whether or not I will obey it. Amen? God's word. And whether or not I will obey. Will you say, I will obey your word, Lord. I will obey your word. Can you just make that your proclamation right now? I will obey your word, God. When I see your word, I will obey that. I tell you what will happen if you'll do that. And will happen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will what? Guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the God that you serve? He's the only one that can do that for you. The other people that'll take his principles and bend it to where it looks like they had something to do with it, but it's God's thing. He's the answer. He's the only. Let me stress that word, only. He's the only way. He's the truth and he's the life. Will you stand this morning? Sing that.
Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. And yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy in all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. And yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes,
I choose to praise.
Glorify the name of all names.
Jesus.
Nothing can stand against.
I choose to praise.
Glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. And yes, I will bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Lord, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will all my days. Yes, I will.
I can show you right here where I let my faith slip. I marked it out. God's waiting on a yes. So Lord, forgive me for marking that out, but I believe that God's waiting on a yes. Are you going to give it to Him? He's waiting on you to come into agreement with what I already said. Well, you just tell Him that. Say, God, I give You a yes. I give You a yes. I come, I submit to You. All Your promises are true. In You, they are yes and amen. God, I thank You for Your word. It is Your word that actually frees us. Let us hear Your voice. Let us make the distinction. Your sheep know Your voice. Let us be Your sheep. Let our ears hear Your voice so that we can distinguish what is Your voice, what is our voice, and what is the voice of the enemy. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you as you go this morning.